Your name, please.
Nathan Wright, Jr.
And your occupation and position?
I'm a clergyman and an educational and urban consultant.
Dr. Wright, do you feel that black power is dangerous?
My viewpoint is that black power is the most creative social concept of this present century, and a number of theologians and philosophers, looking at the concept as it speaks to the issues of our human identity and the need for the empowerment of human life for fulfillment, are saying that potentially this is the most productive theological and philosophical concept of all time, raising on both a transitory and cosmic level the questions of who are we and for what purpose were we created.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with the Reverend Dr. Nathan Wright, Jr., who will reveal to you what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in life. Produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Today's guest, returning for the second interview, is the Reverend Dr. Nathan Wright, Jr., Executive Director of the Department of Urban Work of the Episcopal Diocese of Newark, New Jersey, author of the books Ready to Riot, Black Power and Urban Unrest, and Let's Work Together, and chairman of the 1967 National Conference on Black Power, held in Newark. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, Dr. Nathan Wright, Jr. And thank you, too, for inviting us back here at the Diocesan House where you have your offices in downtown Newark, New Jersey. We certainly appreciated having you on last week. You brought up a number of things which I think many of our listeners may not have thought of in quite the same way. For example, that black power is really a search for an identity of the black person that can give him a basis of power so that he can make a real contribution not only to the black people but to the total society, and that white society itself is very much dependent upon black society's ability to find its own reason for being, to find its own humanity, that we rise and fall together, black and white Americans. So, is there anything good coming from the riots that you can see?
Well, let me say this. They are not designed to begin with, so they cannot be designed to do anything. They are simple yelling out of ouch when someone has pressed their heels too hard, either in their foot or in their back, and the flinging of an arm that may destroy property. One of the good things, I think, that has come out of it is an exposure of the American value system that, interestingly enough, attributes violence to black people for their distracted destruction of property when the society that has driven them to distraction has done the initial violence to their human lives to begin with, and then further equates the worth of physical property with the worth of human life. The fact that our churchmen have not been up in arms about this clear manifestation of the lack of civilization in our nation as a whole, I think, is a felicitous thing because of the fact that that valuation was always there. And whenever churchmen speak up against the so-called violence in these civil disorders, it's certainly a revelation of the fact that our churches are not civilized. When people destroy property, the question may be asked, why were these people driven to this distraction? Again, how much physical property is worth one human life? To a civilized mind, all of the property destroyed these recent summers was not worth the heinous crime of the taking of one human life. The fact that our churchmen have not spoken up shows that our churches are decadent and untrue to the basic tenets of the gospel. The great sin, the one and great sin, is the desecration of God's life as it is revealed in our brothers.
Do you find it Black America cannot free itself until it helps white America to free itself?
It cannot. The process of redemption involves the redeeming of others. It's only in healing that we ourselves are healed. It's only as black people seek to bring regeneration, cleansing, fulfillment, and redemption to the life of our nation and world that black people are going to find themselves set free.
Do you look forward to any difficulties as black power really does have more and more power, that you face the problems of power which
the
white people
face? Well, so long as it is associated with what Vincent Harding calls the gift of blackness, which I translate to mean the driving and unalloyed will for wholeness for human life, which black people do have as a result of their experience, and which is not a part of the black experience, of the white experience in this nation, as attested by the fact that if you read white poetry or white affirmations about the oneness of human life, they do not have the aggressive affirmation of life's oneness and wholeness that is easily detectable in the literature of black people. Black people are more sensitive in this regard. And as long as we keep foremost the gift of blackness to be shared and to be exercised with power, black people will be a great force for good. But the most immediate question is not whether or not the power may be perverted, but the fact is that the power, just like radium treatment, is needed. And what we must do is to try to listen each day reverently, praying that some kind of good grace may be operative in helping all of us in the process of growth.
Now, as the process of power starts to take place, is there aggressive suppression of the black people?
You mean by black people?
No, I mean, is there... is there aggressive suppression of black people?
Oh,
such
I
as
think
there
so.
Perhaps
I think,
was in Newark before the riots.
Oh, the situation in Newark has deteriorated, and I think that the problem is the situation all over the nation is going to deteriorate. I have been sharing in a good many dialogues throughout the country about what we might be doing in this regard. For instance, a month or so ago, Senator Percy called me and asked me if I would share in a meeting with him for 3.5 days, day and night brainstorming about communication, about what might be done in a basic way to effect some fundamental changes in the attitudes and life of our society. This kind of thing is being done, but it is not being done in the to the extent that it ought to be done. I find here in Newark, and in greater New York, white people more and more speaking at black people and not listening. I found little listening before, and I find less listening this past year than I found before. And some of those whom I most deeply love, I find extremely hard of hearing. And several days ago, I spoke with some who were very close to me and indicated that they're, albeit unintended, unwitting, unconscious, lack of hearing would be one of the major precipitating factors for growing rebellion, not among the lower class oriented, but among the professional trained groupings in the black community, where the greatest militancy is being exercised today, and where white America is expressing its greatest contempt for black people.
As you look to the immediate future, Dr. Wright, do you see more rioting?
I don't use the term rioting for what black people do. I say that white people riot against black people and black people rebel against that. I have several feelings. One is that I feel that if the future looks bleak, then those who are responsible have greater responsibilities placed upon them. I would never have penalized my family as much this past year to write 2 books this spring if I did not feel that things looked like they were getting worse and that responsible men must act. my latest book, Let's Get Together, defines tasks that white people must urgently address themselves to as white people, what black people must do as black people, and then what other tasks most appropriately may be done by black and white at present in unity, cooperation, and in coalition. I would rather say that the times are urgent and therefore call for urgent action, but the most immediate thing and most important thing that white people, who are the major listeners to these programs, can do is to be humble and to be open and to listen to trained black leadership that is sensitive and pro-black.
Dr. Wright, I've heard it often said that the blacks are following the footsteps of many ethnic groups who have come in, worked hard, made their way up the ladder. Why can't the black people do the same thing?
Well, we live in a vastly different kind of economy, for one thing, than prevalent when these people made their way up the ladder. The bottom rungs, because of technology and automation, have been taken off. The other is that there was not the pervasive, culturally structured racism against which they had to contend, nor was there the culturally induced self-hate and divisiveness that came out of the experience of black people in the first 300 years of their being in this nation.
One other question which I often hear asked or said, really not a question, I'm making a statement, I'm afraid, why can't other black people rise up the ladder just as you yourself have done?
Well, let me say this, that if all black people were born cussed, like I was born, and if all black people went to college for 22 years, like I did, could tolerate the kind of abuse that I undergo daily from white people, then maybe black people could rise if you would consider that I have risen at all.
Thank you, Dr. Nathan Wright, Jr., for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint. And thank you, too, for inviting us here to your offices in downtown Newark, New Jersey. I know that I speak on behalf of many of our listeners when I thank you for helping stretch our imaginations and our minds to appreciate more deeply what is the true aim of black people such as yourself, what it is that you are seeking. And especially I think that we should listen not only to your words, but to the cries of your heart and of your mind to see what it is that you're really saying for the good of both black and white America.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church. Today's guest was the Reverend Dr. Nathan Wright, Jr., Executive Director of the Department of Urban Work of the Episcopal Diocese of Newark, New Jersey, author of the books Ready to Riot, Black Power and Urban Unrest, and Let's Work Together, and chairman of the 1967 National Conference on Black Power, held in Newark.